In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Your Eminence, Holy Fathers, brothers and sisters, I use Verizon, so I have been wondering for the last few weeks exactly what the government has been listening to me saying. It has caused a lot of reflection in my life, as I honestly did sit down and think through conversations that I've had since our Department of Justice began doing surveillance on millions of Verizon customers. I started thinking about what they might have heard if they actually were listening to me. Mr. Holder, if you're listening right now, happy 4th of July. You know, for a while, I thought to myself, maybe he heard some things he should not have heard. Maybe I've said things I should not have said if I knew he was listening. And if that's true, how much more is it the case that we should really watch these things? Remember that passage in the 12th chapter of St. Matthew where the Lord says, man will render account for every careless word that he speaks on the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. That is a very frightening passage to me about the judgment and about the importance of words and about how careful the judgment will be, how scrutinizing. Our Lord's teaching on the great judgment was scandalous to his hearers. They knew about the judgment, but they didn't know about it like he was teaching it. They were scandalized by his goodness when he claimed to forgive sins. They thought to themselves, how can he do this? Only God can do that. And they were also scandalized when he threatened the judgment. It wasn't just because he said there was going to be a judgment or that it was going to be strict. They were scandalized because he said he was the one going to do it. He affirmed that he held in his precious hands the eternal destinies of every person who was listening to him and every person who has ever lived. In his words, the Father has given all judgment to the Son. And he intends to exercise it. He's the one in our theme text for this Paris Life Conference. He's the one who will say those beautiful words, come, inherit the kingdom. And he's also the one who will say those words that are so frightening, depart from me into the everlasting fire, ye accursed ones. He will speak them because he's the Lord of the judgment. The miracle for the church, the miracle that we're living, brothers and sisters, is that we're living in the judgment already. The church is in the midst of it. In St. Peter's words, it's time, it's the age for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it's with the difficulty that a righteous man is saved, and we know that difficulty, struggling for salvation in the church, how much more the godless man and the sinner? We're living in the midst of judgment, and we've just experienced it in this beautiful liturgy. We judged ourselves before the liturgy by reading the pre-communion prayers. We judged ourselves unworthy. We judged ourselves in the middle of the liturgy as the chief of sinners, each one of us honestly affirming that. We judge ourselves every time we come to confession. This is the great value of the confessional, is that we approach the confessional as though it's the great throne of Christ's judgment. And we stand there and we condemn ourselves before God. Hopefully in the hardest of terms. We should never be soft on ourselves in confession. If we're going to err, we should be too hard. Let the priest tell us we're being too hard. And the reason that we do that is because we believe this reality that the judgment has begun in the house of God. And we also believe that if we judge ourselves, if we voluntarily go to the judgment seat of Christ and condemn ourselves for our sins, that we won't be judged. It's now or it's later. If we do it now, if we judge ourselves now, then we'll know the mercy of God later. But if we refuse to look at ourselves now, then we'll have to answer later. Pre-communion prayers, the liturgy itself, the mystery of confession, but probably the time when we are the most Christian in the whole year is the Thursday of the fifth week of Great Lent, when we pray the canon of St. Andrew of Crete, the great canon. We break it up into pieces, you know, in the first week of Great Lent, but then that Thursday, we apply this teaching, this truth about embracing the judgment, about the judgment of God beginning in the house of God now. We apply that most on that Thursday. St. Andrew has, in the words of Father Schmemann, he says that the gift of St. Andrew of Crete was to take the great themes of redemptive history, the creation, the fall, Noah, the flood, the promises of the covenant, the judgment, the life to come, and to take those great redemptive themes and to personalize them, actually to make them ours. And in the chanting of that great canon, we come to a level of honesty, a level of sobriety that I doubt we come to on any other day of the year, where we actually believe that these things are worthy of meditating on, and that if we don't, we could literally become the food of the enemy. But that if we do now, if we humble ourselves and we make our vows condemning ourselves, we will find refreshment. We'll find salvation. I want to encourage you with the hope of embracing this truth of judgment now. There's a beautiful akathist that's to Jesus himself. It's an akathist to Jesus, the Savior. And it ends with these beautiful words, and I want to end my homily by saying them. We say this: Jesus, our hope in death. Jesus, our life after death. Jesus, our comfort at the judgment. Jesus, our desire. Let us not then be ashamed. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us. Amen.